No. knock, knock. The doorbell repairman. Knock, knock. Who's there? The doorbell repairman. The doorbell repairman. Knock, knock. The doorbell repairman. No doorbell, Elizabeth said. That's right. There you go. Boy, sharp today. Now, let me just tell you something. You know, you can have education, you can have talent, you can have everything, but in this society, it all comes down to who you know. So if you ever need somebody to fit two animals onto a boat, I know a guy. All right. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come back. Father, thank you, Lord. And just help me with my humor. I actually find these things funny. Yeah. Whatever. That's up to you. Let me get my other glasses here because I really want to make a spectacle of myself. Okay. Whoa! Who said that? I want to speak today about something I've been thinking about for a while. And it's funny, Dave mentioned that he was talking about time. And I've been thinking about time a lot. I don't know if it's because I'm aging. I know you were going to think that. But I'm not thinking about time in terms of duration. I'm not thinking about time. I'm thinking about what Richard Rohr calls deep time, the Kairos time, or the fullness of time, as it is in the Bible, or the light of eternity kind of time. And as you know, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So I want to look at time as it relates to purpose today. If we believe the Bible, or even if we don't believe the Bible, but we're scientists, hopefully everybody believes the Bible, the scientists have, physicists have worked out this thing called string theory. And basically, I mean, to boil it down, it's pretty complicated, but to boil it right down, it says that everything is connected. And I believe that. I believe that everything is connected. Everything has a purpose in that bigger connection. As Christians, we do believe that. We believe that all things are interconnected in God and that all things have a purpose in God so that all things then can work together for the good, as the scripture tells us. And I don't know about you, but that really gives me a lot of hope, you know, because there are a lot of things that happen that are not good or don't seem good or not fun and that we would rather be somewhere else experiencing something else. Amen? Right? But this gives me a lot of hope because when I see that all things are connected with a purpose, in purpose that God has, then I could see that everything that exists to serve that purpose, to serve God's purpose. And because God has a purpose and these things are serving his purpose, I don't have to view a circumstance that I might see negatively as that. I don't have to let it get me down have it overcome me. I could look at it as, okay, well, this thing has a purpose, it's interconnected, and it's serving God. It's going to serve God's purpose. Now, if we could also understand that each circumstance doesn't stand alone, but the circumstances of our lives, each individual life, and as they interconnect, are part of a sequence, and that sequence will lead to God's plan becoming implemented in my life and in the world. Does that make sense? Now, if I look at it that way, the possibilities for God to interact in my life become limitless because he could literally work through in everything. And, you know, there's been a scripture, I've read it to you a million times. I really have loved the scripture since I learned to read the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 2:9. It's always been special in my heart. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him who love him. And the word prepared there is an interesting word in Greek. It's God is preparing. It means that God is preparing something specific. It's a preparation for coming events. So he's preparing us now for something that's going to happen in the future. So every circumstance then becomes a preparation for something that God is going to bring about. And what God brings about is always good because God is good. Right? And it says that they're prepared for those who love him. So when we love God, part of the anticipation that we can have is this second coming of the Messiah. This actual parousia, the actual appearing of Jesus Christ once again. So we can look forward to that. And God is preparing everything that's happening in your life and in my life as a series of sequences that lead up to this preparation for the coming of the Messiah. It's not disconnected. So don't let each individual thing overcome you. Just see it as part of that. Now, if you do, and you're turning to God in faith, seeing, Lord, I know that you're doing something in this circumstance, even though I don't like it or I don't see it, what happens is he gives the grace to you to not only overcome it, but to start to see in a wider, you know, starting to see with the eyes of the Spirit rather than the way that we just normally look in at things in the earth. This could help us actually get through a lot of the tough stuff that we have to get through sometimes, you know? Because God, through our lives, which include all our present circumstances, is busy. He's not just sitting around doing nothing. He's busy setting up good things just for us. And according to the scripture, they're so good, we can't even conceive of them. We've not seen them before, and we can't even conceive of them, the scripture that we just read. Now, it's a little hard to believe that because a lot of these things are still hidden from us. They're mysteries. And that's what I want to get to today. God is saving them for an appointed time. They're being prepared for an open time. Now, because God doesn't live in the chronos time, he doesn't live in duration, he lives in the wider perspective of time, the kairos, or the deep time, what we experience as the appointed time in duration is not really the same thing that exists, it's not in the same kind of time frame that these hidden things exist in. See, they already exist, but we don't see them because they're in this deeper time. When God starts to reveal them to us, they will come and they will be shown in this time period, and we'll start to understand it. Is this making sense? Did I lose anybody? Okay. If you could see it this way, God's appointed time for things to occur really already exists. It's just a matter of them being revealed. He's preparing them, and part of the preparation is preparing us to be able to receive them when they are revealed so that we can receive them and implement them. Because these are powerful things. These are things that it says in the scripture that elders from the beginning of Christianity, certainly, and Judaism, have longed to understand what God is yet kept them hidden to reveal them to a generation, and I believe that we're that generation. So we need to just keep hoping that. Because God is supernatural and lives in a kairos time, that kairos time is actually a supernatural time. It's a time that exists, but this is what I mean by supernatural time. It's a time that exists outside of the perception of the natural world. So today you got a peek into the supernatural world. People saw angels. They've got a word. You know, those are all peaks. God is blessing us to peek into the supernatural world where he is. That's why we sing, Draw Me, Lord. Lord, I'm not singing any longer, Lord, come down here. I'm not interested in God. God is already here. He doesn't have to come down here. I'm saying, Lord, draw me where you are. Draw me there. Draw me there so I can see, get a peek of what's going on where you are in that supernatural place. So, because these things exist, these things of God, these hidden things exist in the supernatural realm, and they're the things of God who are supernatural, they are not subject to the influences of the natural landscape. So when God manifests them to you, there's nothing that can stand in the way of them actually taking place. Once they're revealed and you receive them, you can implement them, and the only thing that can stop them is you by not doing it. But nothing, there's no demon, there's nothing that's created, no man, nothing. When these things are revealed to you, they are so powerful that nothing can stop them. And that's why all things become possible. Nothing in the natural landscape can stop them. It will be a time of open display of God's power and His sovereignty. Now, here's the deal. You can't enter this by knowing about it. You're not going to enter it by me telling you about it. I can't enter it by me telling you about it. I can't make it happen. I can't, like, there's not a certain mantra or something I could recite that's going to allow me to do this. Because it's not a point. See, I'm operating, you're operating in chronos time. We're operating in duration time. But what I'm speaking about is not actually a point in time. It's more of a confluence of our being ready to receive what He holds as a gift, and the grace of the revelation of God to us. A confluence is like where things join together, like a confluence of a river, two rivers come together. So there's these two motions of us giving ourselves to God, saying, here's my life, here's the old stuff, God, the old man, I'm giving myself, that coming in confluence with the grace that's flowing from the throne, the revelation of the throne. When it comes to that point, that's the appointed time. The appointed time of confluence. So we co-labor. See, it doesn't happen to us. It happens with us. And when it comes, we come to experience what I said before, that nothing then becomes impossible with God. All things become new at that point because we start to see things in a totally different way. We start to see things with the eyes of the Spirit rather than the eyes of flesh. And when that happens, all our hopes and all our desires start to become fulfilled. Let me ask you, who do you think gives you those hopes and desires? God does. God has put in each one of us a hope and a desire for something. I'm not talking about material things necessarily. I'm talking about the peace on earth, the lack of stress and anxiety. I'm talking about good health. I'm talking about solid relationships, understanding the principles of God, feeling and sensing His presence as we walk along in the dark. Those hopes and desires that are godly hopes and desires become fulfilled when the confluence of our sacrifice of our old self and the grace of God start to flow together. Psalm 102 in the Amplified says, "But You, O Lord, are enthroned forever, and the fame of Your name endures to all generations. You will arise and have mercy and loving kindness for Zion, for it is time to have pity and compassion for her. Yes, the moment designated, the appointed time has come." So the psalmist saw it, that it exists. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let me give you some examples so you can really zip in on. These are scriptures that you know, but now I want you to look at it in the context of what I've already said here this morning. Look at Abraham and Sarah, right? Now, they waited a quarter of a century, for this child of promise to be born, to be given to them, right? Abraham was close to 100 years old when God told him this. And I think it's in, it's in Genesis 18:14. He says, "At the appointed time, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son." See, it didn't make sense, did it? He's 100 years old. Makes no sense. The circumstances said that you can't, this can't happen. But Abraham took his unbelief, his doubt, his fears, all the promises that God had given him, and put them back on the altar, which then allowed him to become ready to receive this supernatural impartation that God told him he was going to give him at an appointed time. And so when that grace from God flowed down, and Abraham was in that place that he put everything on the altar, the confluence of both things came, and Isaac was born. The impossible happened. It only took three chapters in the, because that, he told them in verse 18, and in 21, Isaac was born. So three chapters went, took a year. All right, that was supposed to be funny, but whatever, anyway. See, at the appointed time, this speaks about a preset time by God. He enters our lives supernaturally and does something. We're not sure what it's going to be, but he's going to do something. And it's going to be outside the natural landscape. Isaiah put it like this. Isaiah 25. He put it like this. He said, "Wonders, plans formed long ago that unfold with perfect faithfulness." Not good? The appointed time for each thing already has its being in God. And there's no plan of man and no demon in hell that can thwart that appointed time from happening. Psalm 2 is one of Pastor Marie's favorite psalms. There's Psalm 2:4. He says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs at his enemies." You just see God up there going, "What are you doing?" Not only does he laugh at the enemy, he actually takes the enemy's plans and turns it around.
That's right.
Right? He does. Romans 8:28. Takes their plans and reverses the outcome so that they'll serve his purpose.
Hallelujah.
See? Psalm 119:89-89 says, "His word is settled in heaven forever." And that he makes, listen, and he makes all things his servants.
Yes, he does.
So these plans of the enemy, God, not only he just reverses them and causes the plans of the enemy to serve his purpose.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve, that loves us, the God that's good, that we sing about every week. Okay, think about Joseph in Genesis 50. He said, now you know the story, his brothers try to do him in. But he ends up in Egypt, and you know the outcome of that. He ends up saving Israel. Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." God took this plan of the enemy working through Joseph's brothers and turned it to save the nation of Israel. Amazing. "All things work together for the good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Right? We say that all the time. It's Romans 8:28. There's two key words there. Those who are called according to his purpose. Called, purpose. And you need to make note of that. Called and purpose. His purpose are those things he's prepared for those who love him. Right? We read that before. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no one can conceive of the things God has prepared for those who love him. Right? 1 Corinthians 2. So his purpose is that. All things that he's prepared. His purpose is not something that just falls out of the sky and happens to us. It's not something we do. But it's something that we have been appointed to. We're appointed to a purpose. We're appointed to the purpose of what we will become. Because Romans 8:29 says, the next verse goes on to say, For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So what are we appointed to? To become the image of his Son. that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. The appointed time has to do with his prepared purpose being implemented in the Chronos time. And that purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, right? So the circumstances that we're in, even though we hate them, those are part of the sequence that are allowing us to become conformed. And they're not falling out of the sky. They didn't just inadvertently happen. And even if they came from the enemy or they came from choices that we've made that were not right, God will turn them around and make them serve him. Is this encouraging you? I hope it is. It was encouraging me all week. The appointed time. Now, here's the deal. God says in Amos that he's not going to do anything on earth unless he first reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Who are the prophets? New Testament prophets are us. Why is that? Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is the spirit of prophecy. And if we ask the Holy Spirit, it says he gives liberally, as he would. All the gifts of the Spirit are available to those who believe. Some would come naturally. Some, you know, they have this gift of prophecy. But we can ask for any of them at any time. And those gifts can come on us at any time that we need them. A prophet is just one who hears something from the Lord and then speaks that particular thing out. So if God is going to do something, he's going to tell you. Now, so how does he do that, though? How does he actually reveal his plan to us? That's what I was inferring before. He places a vision or a desire in your heart. He creates a stirring within you and a desire to see that vision established. Okay, so why doesn't it happen? Well, there is a problem. You know what happens? We get the vision a lot of times, or we get a desire within us, and once we receive it, we say, oh, I heard from God, and we go out and we try to make it happen. But you'll never make the thing that's hidden in God happen. You just can't make it happen. It's just not the way it works. All you can do is place yourself in a place, your heart, in a place where you've surrendered or you're open to receive the grace. And then wait for the grace of God to come and meet your sacrifice and bring the confluence of those two things together. Then it becomes established. So we don't want to make it happen. Because when we do that and it doesn't happen, what happens? Yeah, you get disappointed and doubt comes in. You get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, what does that mean? You lose courage. And let me tell you something. Faith, you can't have faith without courage. Courage is like fundamental to faith. But, you know, God knows how we operate. So him being a good father, he's also given us instruction of how to deal with this kind of thing when we get ahead of ourselves, right? Habakkuk 2, he says, write it down. You get a vision, write it plainly so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. In other words, what he's saying is make it clear. Write it down, make it clear so you don't forget it, so that someone can read it quickly and easily, even those who are on the run. Even those who are just like caught up with, you know, their everyday Megillah. Write it down. Because if God gave you a vision, there will be, underline, an appointed time for that vision to be realized in the earth. There's no doubt. It will come to pass because God spoke it. But you have to wait for it. Verse 3 of that Habakkuk 2, it says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But in the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. And when it comes, it may seem like it comes sudden, like suddenly there it is, you know, out of nowhere. But in reality, though it may manifest itself suddenly, it may just come upon you suddenly, it may seem like it came out of nowhere, in reality, the preparation for that particular vision has taken years of planning and being hidden in God and waiting for you and whoever else that might be, you know, involved in it to actually come to this place where all the stuff that needs to get laid down gets laid down. You know, if you don't have courage, then you don't have faith, because you're not going to be trusting God for something. You're not going to be able to let go of the thing you need to let go of. So God then is not able to unveil that part of the vision that's going to make it happen, the power, the grace to make it happen, because we co-labor. We have to do our part. That's why this is a walk of faith, and we need courage for that. And we need each other for it, because nobody walks around full of courage all the time. Nobody does. There are going to be things that come up in your life that are going to seem daunting. I mean, just like, how am I going to do this? I'm going to, you know, and then the enemy comes in, he starts speaking, oh, you're going to lose this, you're going to be homeless, you're going to be blah, blah, blah. For people of God, it's a lie, because for those who love God, all things work together for good. There's this progression, right? The progression of the circumstances is in sequence to bring about the preparation for what God has planned for us, because we love Him. And what He has planned for us is to be formed into the very nature of His Son Jesus, who last time I looked was seating at the right hand of God and is not worried about any, making the car payment. All right, so another thing about the appointed time is it doesn't only apply to events. The appointed time doesn't only speak of events. It also speaks of the appointment of people appointed for His purpose. People appointed for His purpose. He's predestined the timing of this breakthrough as He silently works to prepare their hearts. So God is in the process of preparing our hearts so that we can come to this appointment. He's made an appointment, but we need to be equipped for that appointment. It's going to take time, so we need to wait. John 15:16, Jesus said this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name He may give you." That is a powerful. See, He called them, He appointed them for a purpose. And what was the purpose? To bear fruit that was permanent. See, they probably thought that they chose Him. You probably thought that you chose the Lord. But in reality, it's God that chooses us. And it says, the scripture says, before the foundations of the world were set, and He's predestined us to come to Christ. Now, you don't have to believe me. This is what the scripture says. You ready for the scripture? Ephesians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me down draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's Jesus speaking. See, we couldn't even have come to Christ had not the Father drew us. He chose us for a reason. He chose us, He appointed us, and that appointment is to bear fruit, and that fruit would be permanent. Fruit that will not ever be stolen by the demons or any man or any work. If you see it that way, you could start to believe, or you could start to see, that all things therefore have to turn to the good. Because all things serve his will. Didn't we read that before? He makes all things his servant. All things that happen have to turn to the good, even if they don't start as the good, because they have to serve his will. What do we have to do in the meantime? Yeah, we have to be patient. We have to wait patiently, and what? Believe. Believe what I'm saying. Not easy. But that's what it's going to take. See, we love God when we express faith in him. When we say, yes, Lord, we're going to wait. We don't understand this. This feels miserable. It feels like I'm going to go down. I'm scared out of my brains. But I'm still going to wait and trust you until it comes to pass, because I know that it will. And because of our willingness to at least try to do this, just try to do it. You don't even have to do it. If you are willing to try to do it, your appointment is still in place. Now, you may be sitting here today listening to this. Oh, this sounds pretty good. But you know what? My life to this point has really been unfruitful, and not fruitful enough. And I really could have did more. Yeah, but here's the thing. Your life is not over yet. God is not finished with you yet. You're still in the sequence. Amen? Yeah, most of you are still breathing. So while you're still breathing, it's still valid, you know? Still not. Yeah, you're not done. God has chosen you. Do you believe that? It's just what we just read, right? So hopefully you believe it. Now, if you believe it, then also believe that you will bear fruit. Good fruit, permanent fruit. There's an appointed time that the fruit will come forth. Wait for it. Because the same power that drew you to Christ in the first place is also working in you to conform you to him. He's preparing you by preparing your circumstances to prepare you. Okay, PR, yeah. But what about those Christians who have fallen away? Didn't you say no person or demon could stand in the way of the appointed time? I have an answer for that. I think that if you really looked at the lives of the people that have fallen away, you will find that they are people who have failed to keep their own appointment. And the way that works is this way. Many times, you know, we suffer. Things happen and it's just really unbearable, and we suffer. And when we suffer, a lot of times we forget the promises of God. We forget what God has already done. It's just natural to do that. And we become disappointed. Somebody said that before. Maybe through a failed spiritual expectation. We prayed and we knew it and we felt we had a word from God, and it didn't happen. And, you know, we thought we heard, but now we're not sure. And now the doubt is coming in. We're all disappointed. And then maybe we tried to make it happen ourselves, and then that didn't work. You got to understand something. Disappointment is more than just a sad emotional state. Disappointment is being disappointed. And disappointment, when you disappoint yourself in that way, when you take yourself out of, off the appointment that God has set for you, you could literally take yourself out of it. And when you do, it will affect your faith deep in your heart. It can disappoint you from your destiny. Now, the fact is, your appointment still remains intact, just even if you've stepped back from it. God has not taken it back. It's still there. But by doing that, by taking yourself out of the running because somebody let you down or something let you down or you let yourself down or God let you down or whatever, and now you're disappointed, you actually isolate yourself from that grace that is needed to bring about the very thing that you were hoping for. And when that happens, you start to fall in unbelief. Your faith gets blocked off, or it becomes dormant until your vision actually dies, and that desire and the vision that God originally put in you starts to fade and then dies. And you know Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish. So this is why that Habakkuk, to go back to the Habakkuk, it goes on and tells us that the righteous have to live by their faith. So you can get a vision, you can write it down, you can wait for it, but you still have to live by faith. If you disappoint yourself or you disappoint, you disconnect from the flow of the grace that goes along with your appointment, your vision will perish, and eventually you'll fall into backsliding easily. I'll give you a personal testimony. I probably did this already, but I just want to, God reminded me of it, so I'm just going to tell you again. It was maybe a year ago. So here I am pastoring the church for 20 years, had many experiences in God, and God has been faithful all these years. It's been amazing. It's been absolutely astonishing. And yet, disappointment grabbed my heart one morning. I could not shake it. I couldn't even pray. We were driving to work. We were driving to church, and we always pray. We take turns praying and all that. We pray for each other. We pray for the service. We pray for God movement. I could not pray. So a couple of feet in his neck, and I'm still got my mouth shut. Pastor Murray's praying, but of course not as good as me praying. I mean, you know. Okay. Well, it's not as good. It's not as good for me to receive the faith I need if she's praying than if I was praying. So what does God do? So I make the right off of Eaton's Neck, make the left down Locust Lane, go down the thing. Pastor Marie's praying away, and I'm like dark. I'm not even like complaining. I'm just like dark. There's no life. I don't feel life within my heart. And thank God, most of the time when I come here, I feel life in my heart. After I leave, that's a different story. But no, I'm a kid. But if I had no life in my heart, no faith, then I was just like, oh. So we pull down the road. We pull down. There's a hill. Pull down the road, and there's a stop sign at the end of the hill. So I look to the left, and I know the stop sign's there because I've been going on this road for 40 some odd years. And I look to the left. No cars are coming. I look to the right. I see the stop sign, and somebody had written on the stop sign. You remember this? It says stop in the middle. Somebody wrote in chalk, "Don't," then "Stop believing." It was powerful. It was powerful. It's like God showed up. How faithful is God? How faithful is God? See, he didn't get all over my case. I did this for you. I did that for you. And this is what you repay me. No faith, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, go to hell. What kind of God would that be? No, God saw me as a son who was down, who needed help, needed grace. And he did something that was supernatural. I mean, he's just, you know. I've been down that, like I said, down that road 40 some odd years. And when we went back to look for that sign, it was not there any longer. God is good. God is good. And we do need that every once in a while. Because what he was saying to me, see, God speaks in a lot of different ways. And what he was saying to me personally through that sign is, Roy, it's not over. You know, it's not over. Wait for the vision to come to pass. Wait. Let me tell you, Satan can only stop your destiny if you accept the power of disappointment and then disappoint yourself. If you accept disappointment, backsliding will not be far away and your fruit will perish because you will let the prophetic vision die, the vision that's within you. So let me ask you today, let me put you guys on the spot. You don't have to answer, right? This is for your own heart. Are you carrying disappointment in your heart today? It might be in the form of unforgiveness. It might be unforgiveness towards someone else, yourself, God. If that's the case, I would suggest that you renounce it if you want to move in freedom. Just renounce it. That's all you have to do. I just renounce this disappointment. I just denounce this unforgiveness in the name of Jesus, Lord. I take it and I put it at your altar. I don't even know how to do that, Lord, but I'm just doing it. I'm saying it. I'm doing it in faith. Because people will let you down. You will let yourself down because you have an expectation of yourself that's probably not as realistic as you think it is. Well, I mean, you know, we all have these personas that we want to put forth and we want to look good and feel good. And it's a slap in the face when that persona gets sort of pushed away a little bit, you know. And unfortunately, one of the results is that we start to get down on ourselves. So we need to not get down on ourselves, forgive yourself. Move back into grace. Renounce any unrepentance that you have. And if you're disappointed with God, just confess that before him. And move back into the grace of your Redeemer. Move into the shadow of the wings of God that we read today. That is a special psalm for me also. That psalm took me out of the darkness and gave me my first promise in God. It spoke eloquently to me and continues to. So Psalm 91, very special, and I'm happy that you read that today, Dave. See, because it's not too late. If you're still breathing, it's not too late.
Amen.
And I feel like this, when I put this message today, I feel that God wanted to remind you today that your appointment is still valid. Amen. It's in effect.
Yes.
Your destiny is set. You will bear fruit, and that fruit will remain, and ultimately that fruit is to support the plan that he's preparing for all of us to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen. All right. Let's pray. Why don't you stand up, and we'll pray for you. I'm finished for today. Holy Spirit, you see us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I'm going to speak for the congregation. We collectively confess our disappointment, Lord, and we confess that it has crept in at various parts of our lives and souls. Lord, we forgive those who have disappointed us, and we release them to you. We also release ourselves for accepting disappointment, and we repent. We renounce unbelief and submit again to your ongoing call in our lives. Lord, prepare us again to move into our appointed time. We ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay, don't forget, next week is food week. It's the first week. The conference Saturday, 3:30.